Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tayshaun Graham, and in this episode, we have a very special guest. I don't know how to describe her, but let's just say legend is kind of the best way to describe her. You know, this season, she made history. She became the all-time leading scorer for the women's basketball program and rebounder. I'm super, super duper jealous. And now, recently, is now a two-time team MVP on the women's basketball team. We have Miss Megan McCarter. Megan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, first of all, thank you so much for taking time to come sit down today. I know you've never been on the podcast before. I just took that in. And we've known each other for 5 years. You've never been on the podcast.
Not once.
Is this your first podcast or no?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. How do you feel? You've probably been here big time now.
I'm a little nervous, but we'll make it through.
No, you should be fine. But let's get right into it. So first of all, like I said in the intro, congratulations. You know, you had another unbelievable season. You know, you made history for women's basketball. You know, all-time leading scorer, all-time rebounder. Kind of, how do you take that in considering the fact that, you know, you've been here for 5 years and, you know, you just started off as just playing basketball, trying to get your education, but now you've done so much more. You've made history in the program. Like, how does it feel knowing that you accomplished all that at this point?
Obviously, it feels pretty good. It doesn't really feel real, I guess. I'm glad I have another year to keep building on those records, which is really exciting. But yeah, it really just feels like hard work is starting to pay off, which is nice.
Did you know going into the season that this was possibly a milestone that you could reach? Like, it's like the NBA, you know, we saw last year where everyone said, okay, LeBron's about to break the all-time scoring record. Like, was there anything going into the season where you said, okay, I might have a chance to get this, and if so, I'm going to go for it?
Yeah, there was, like, in the back of my mind, but I kind of lost track of it as you, like, get into the swing of things and you're just playing basketball. But yeah, I didn't even know I broke the rebounding record until we watched film on Monday and they kind of celebrated for me, which was really sweet. But yeah, it was in the back of my mind, but yeah.
So let's talk about this season. Obviously, like I said, your fifth year, obviously your fourth year playing, because obviously COVID, it's kind of the same situation as me. A lot of stuff happened this year. You know, obviously you guys had a great season last year, obviously, you know, with Coach Rachel coming into the fold, dealt with a lot of injuries. Obviously Nicole lost the season, you know, JaVale was supposed to be a big part of it. Kind of, as you, who's been here for 5 years, kind of was, you know, being that leadership role, kind of, what was it like adjusting to the beginning of the season, knowing that someone like specifically Nicole, who was supposed to be starting and be there alongside you, wasn't going to be there, and then someone like JaVale, who was supposed to come in and be an impact player, also wasn't going to be there. So kind of, what was it like for you to kind of, not necessarily take on the big burden, the shoulder the burden, but just kind of know that you had to, might have to do more than you anticipated this year?
Yeah, honestly, at the start, it was kind of like you just like throwing yourself in there, trying to make the most of like what you can and do what you can. But as the season like progressed, it was like a lot, because Nicole would have taken a lot of that weight in that leadership role, and she definitely did on the sideline, but it's not the same when you don't get to step on the floor and direct it out there like she would as our point guard. And also JaVale, like, that's heartbreaking. You don't even get to play your first year with your rookie class. So to have, like, she would have been definitely a scoring threat out there and defensive threat. So to lose that as well was a lot. And honestly, I didn't really realize it, but I wasn't really dealing with it. And I had to kind of come to terms with that around Christmas time, because it was a hard thing to wrap your head around.
Right. Yeah, because obviously, like, injuries is a part of the game. But when you have injuries like that so early on in the season, it's like, how do you cope with that? But at the same time, too, it happened, but may have, it happened at a time where, okay, we know what we're dealing with now going into the season. So it's not like, you know, you're in the swing of things, you know, you're top of the league, and then something happens. Mm-hmm. At least you knew going into it that, okay, this is a situation. Yeah. So for you personally, like I said, how was it to be able to now that you knew that you're going to take on the burden, how was it for you to up your game? Like, what was your thought process now once the injuries happened? Okay, how am I going to be able to take this next step? Because you've always been a scoring threat, obviously, stuff like that, but you probably had to do more specific on the leadership side. So what was that? What was that mental state like for you to prepare yourself for that season?
I kind of just threw myself in there, and really the goal was to, like, get us to work together. Like, we were such a young team that with my experience and, like, Sophie and Cookie and our older group there, it was really just about uniting us and getting us to learn how to play together. And, like, off the court, like, we got along really well, like, right from the start, which is amazing. So bringing that kind of connection and chemistry onto the court.
Yeah, I said the same thing on the, you know, a couple of podcast episodes ago. I want to ask you the same question, because you've been here for 5 years. Did you notice that there was really a shift in kind of the vibe this year?
Yes.
I'm not tripping, because remember, when we first came here, it was like the older people. COVID happened, and the 2 years after, specifically the first year after COVID, you know, that was like the year that a lot of sixth years came back. A lot of people wanted to finish up the eligibility. Yeah. People did Teachers College, which ended last year. So it's kind of feel like a, from an old OG type of vibe to this year was like a complete shift to like super young people.
Yeah. Definitely way younger, but I think like it,
it was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was. But we had like the opportunity to kind of like rebuild like our, like what we want it to look like here, which is kind of nice. Which, I mean, experience is amazing, but also like having those incoming players, and we really get to see like that shift happen.
No, for sure. So staying on that, obviously, like I said, you came here same year as me, 2019, kind of what ultimately led you to Nipissing? Can I ever ask this question? Because I always told people before, like, I was originally supposed to go to Algoma. Of course, Corey got the job here. I came here. Obviously, you played for then head coach Katie Hamilton, who is now the head coach of Algoma's women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. So what was your recruiting process like that ultimately led you to decide to come to Nipissing?
Well, there was a few different reasons. One being Teachers College, like Nipissing has one of the best, so yeah, that was definitely a big draw. And when I was being recruited, I think we had a group of seven new incoming players, which is a lot, and so I was kind of excited for the experience to help rebuild and really just create a lasting legacy here with a great group of girls that I could stick with all the way through.
Yeah, kind of. What were your expectations going into university experience? Because a lot of times you have an idea from high school, you come to university, you think it's going to be something, then it's something else. Like, kind of, did your university experience up to this point, or even specifically in your first year, was it what you expected? Was it better? Was it different? Kind of talk to him kind of how what the correlation was for your experience.
Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect coming in. Like, I don't think anybody really does. But it was a lot more intense than I had anticipated, just yeah, like schooling-wise, time management, but also just like the amount you put into basketball. Like, I came from an OBA team. I didn't play prep or anything. So we were practicing like in high school. You practice every day, but then OBA, you practice like 2-3 times a week, which yeah, is so different than yeah, when you no, come to university. So that was a big change.
Was there any vets that your first year that really took you under their wing? Like, was there any lesson that you remember specifically they carry on to the young girls right now? Kind of, what was it like from first year in terms of being in the position where you kind of, obviously when you're high school, you're the last year, obviously you're a leader, you come in, you're new. Mm-hmm. Like I said, who were the people your first year that kind of took you under their wing, kind of helped you, you know, navigate this life that is university
yeah,
sports?
Luckily, there was a few girls who were also in phys ed, so they definitely helped out with the school aspect. I would say Vanessa Willis is just like an absolute sweetheart. Love her to death. She's actually one of the reasons why I chose to come here.
Really?
Yeah, she was like my partner or whatever when I came on my recruiting trip. She did everything with me. Yeah. So she was awesome. And then obviously seeing like Natalie Martinez and Maria Walsh and those type of players, you really just see how hard they work and you want to keep up with that. So they really push you.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing too is like when you're an incoming student athlete, you're trying to find someone to kind of emulate or so kind of like mold, kind of watch yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when people come in, they think, okay, I'm going to go and see whatever happens. But I think it's important for people listening, like to kind of, when you're coming in, make sure that you find someone that you can kind of relate to, that can relate to you, kind of help you, push you to be better, things like that. So I'm actually glad that you found that.
Yeah.
Obviously, your first year, you kind of won Rookie of the Year, which was a huge accomplishment. The next year was COVID, right? COVID was obviously a crazy time for everyone. I never asked you this too, because I've asked people from 4 years ago on the podcast, kind of, what was your experience like during COVID, right? Because like I said, you just had one Rookie of the Year, you had a great season, you were obviously looking to build on it for season two, and then the world stops. What was your time like during COVID for you?
Honestly, it kind of, like, it was nice to have a break at the start, and then you kind of get bored and you get antsy and you want to get out there and do things. And I think it, like, for my development basketball wise, it doesn't necessarily like hinder it, but I think if we were able to get in the gym and do those things, it definitely would have I would have developed a lot faster. So that was a bummer, but overall I think coming out of it, I still have an extra year of eligibility now, so I'll take that.
Yeah.
Get to put in my 6 year.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I want to ask you, if COVID didn't, I've always wondered this about people who have Teachers College, if COVID didn't happen, right, and then obviously you still had, so you're going to 6 years, we have 5 years eligibility. Would you have played five? Would you have, almost knocked it off? Would you have played five straight, or would you have done a year off and then come back to finish your last year? What would you have done? I've always wondered that. Like, thankfully it worked out.
Yeah, thankfully.
But what would you have done?
I feel like I would have played 5 years straight. I wouldn't want to take that break, and that break would have been probably this year, which yeah, I think was a big year for us, and I wouldn't want to sit on the sidelines for that one. So, yeah, I definitely would have played 5 years straight and then I guess just watch.
You could have. I'm pretty sure knowing Rachel, she probably would have help out or something.
There. Yeah, definitely. But I'm glad I got to play. So.
Yeah. So following obviously COVID, then we had the 21-22 season, which was obviously our first year back. Obviously the restrictions. A lot of stuff happened that year. Obviously, you know, the team wasn't the best. Obviously, Coach Katie Hamilton decided to leave halfway through due to personal matters, and obviously our coach, Coach Corey, kind of decided to end up coaching both teams. People don't know our coach. My coach ended up coaching both teams 2 years ago. What was that whole year like in terms of obviously not having the best team and not having the best situation, losing a coach halfway through, having our coach coach both of you guys? What was your experience like that whole year?
Yeah, it was a crazy year. Like, to have two coaches in one season, it's very challenging. Like, every coach has a different philosophy, way of going about things. And so to adjust to Corey's, like, philosophy and way of doing things, it was a lot. But ultimately, I do think it brought, like, our team closer together. And, like, I really enjoyed just how Corey, like, really, he puts his all into his players, right? Yeah. So, that was really nice. And to do that for two teams at one time, like, I think we were just grateful to have a coach and be able to finish our season.
Yeah, because if he didn't do that, do you think that there wouldn't have been a season, right?
I mean, somebody might have stepped up, but who knows? And
yeah, it wouldn't have been the same, right? So I always say shout out Coach for that. Because honestly, when he told us, I was like, how on earth are you going to coach both teams?
Yeah.
Knowing him, right? It's not like the, you know, the surface of, okay, we'll do a practice. No, like, we're talking about practice, weight, indies, and you doing the same thing with you girls.
So
because I heard some stuff too, because people don't know, like, after COVID happened, we had the 21-22 season, we had the first semester, and then Omicron hit, so we were gone for 6 weeks. And then when we got the word that we're coming back, we only had 9 days to prepare.
Yeah.
So you girls only had 9 days to prepare with the new coach.
Yeah.
And then with his schedule, you know, with his indies and stuff like that, like, I don't know what Coach Kate did before that, but knowing Coach as I do, obviously, he has multiple times a day you're in the gym. What was that adjustment like for all you girls?
Well, I think physically it took a toll on us. Like, I remember walking out of the gym.
Especially with 9 days to wind back up. But
yeah, so that was a big adjustment. And also just, like, getting in the swing of things. And, like, I think we put in a new defense and a few new offensive plays and kind of figuring out how that works with the client or, like, the players that we have.
Yeah.
So that was definitely hard, too.
Yeah, because, like I said, that year was – honestly, it felt like 4 years
ago. Yeah.
It was crazy. Still dealing with COVID, Omicron, you know, all that stuff, things like that. But you know, that first year obviously was kind of, I've always wanted to know kind of that was the first, you know, year we did Shoot for Change and stuff like that. Kind of, what's been your experience like kind of doing that, kind of being a part of that? Obviously, like I said, that was the first year we did it. People don't know, or some people know now that it almost didn't happen because of the pandemic. What was it like from your side, kind of, you know, being a part of the Shoot for Change, kind of being a part of the last 3 years and kind of just playing the game, the jersey, stuff like that? What's your experience been like with that?
Honestly, it's like really goes to show that, like, basketball isn't just basketball. So getting to be a part of something that's like making a difference and bringing voice to people that don't always have that is really amazing. And just getting to, like, in the atmosphere in the gym when you're playing those games, like, the crowd is just going crazy, and that part of it is just amazing as well.
Yeah, I just want to thank you girls, obviously, because, like I said, you know, doing the video and stuff like that is not easy, especially, like, for people who were not directly impacted by it, obviously, like I said, you know, the Black community and stuff like that. So it is sometimes nerve-wracking, especially when you're so young, because you want to help out, you don't want to say the wrong thing, right? So find that balance. But, like, I really appreciate, you know, girls like yourselves, like Nicole, Cookie, and stuff like that. So that's definitely been the best part. You know, talking about, you know, the experience, stuff like that, obviously, when you first came to university, obviously, you were 18?
I was 17 when I first came in.
Okay. Yeah, how do you know, like, 20? 21?
22 now.
22, right. One thing I always talk about is the maturation process. You know, universities use to be able to not only, you know, elevate yourself, you know, to your professional career, but also to be able to discover yourself and find yourself. What have been the biggest things about you or different aspects about that you've seen grown over your time in Nipsey, and what have you learned about yourself being away from home?
One thing for sure, I think I've really gotten to develop, like, my own values and, like, what I value in, like, how I carry myself, how I act, but also, like, who I interact with and stuff. And I don't think, like, basketball has been a huge part of that. So I don't think I would have gotten to really hone in on those values if it wasn't for that. Moving away from home, I've always been pretty independent. So it wasn't, like, too nerve-wracking, but I've kind of realized I want to be closer to home. Like, I really value family, and so being, I'm like 6 hours away from home.
Yeah. Because you're from Wallaceburg, right?
Coach is just out the window.
Yeah, shout out to the podcast. Shout out to Coach Rich. Shout out to the podcast. You're from Wallaceburg, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So where exactly is that?
So it's in between London and Windsor, and it's right on like the U.S. border. So
really?
It's, yeah.
Why do you know that?
Yeah, it's pretty farther south. So dang.
Small town, or
very small. I think we're like less than 10,000. So
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. So what was it like, kind of growing up in a small city?
Everybody knows everybody's business. So
is that really the best
thing, though? No, yeah. Not always, but luckily, I met like some of my best friends there, and so I really enjoy going home. And also, surprisingly enough, we had an excellent basketball program, so that was very good too.
Yeah, so how was your adjustment to North Bay? Like I said, for me, it was super different being from a big city coming mm-hmm. to, you know, a city from Toronto has like, what, 3 million people, and then that's like, what, North Bay's what? Is it even like a 10th or a 20th?
I don't know.
Not very high. Like, what was your experience like adjusting to North Bay life?
Honestly, North Bay was a big city for me.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Wallaceburg's that small?
Yeah, there's there's a Walmart. That's all we have.
Wow.
So I was just excited to like have things to do and more people to interact with. I wouldn't say it was a huge adjustment, mostly because I didn't really leave campus in first year, just with basketball and classes
too.
And everything.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it was too difficult, and I actually really like North Bay now, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you planning to stay here after you're done, or?
No.
Yes.
But.
let's be honest.
As a student, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've enjoyed my, you know, time. Obviously, at the time it's recording, it's 2 weeks left before undergrad's over, so, you know, obviously I've enjoyed my experience. It's been great. I'm glad to hear you've done the mm-hmm. same. Staying on, like, you know, the adjustment process, like, you know, coming from high school to university, like, the school is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know when I first came from university or high school to university, like, I had straight 90s in high school, university, my first year, I struggled. You know, you've been an academic All-Canadian. Has it been every single year?
Really? I think so, yeah.
Every single year. I'm jealous.
It's
only 4 years to get one, but hey, that's an accomplishment.
You got it.
Kind of, first, this is two-part. The first question is kind of, what was your adjustment like from high school to university? And then for student-athletes listening right now, what's your advice for being able to maintain, you know, that student life, student-athlete balance?
Mm-hmm. I would say in high school I wasn't like I was a good student, but I didn't necessarily put my all into it. And then coming to university, like you had to, or you're gonna fall behind. So I guess my biggest advice, we would really focus on like time management. I think like you have to find times to do everything. So like getting good at that quick will go so far. And like also ask for help. Like there's so many people like. Definitely on your sports teams that have been through the same thing you're going through. So just definitely ask for help and somebody will be there.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's good about Never Since, like, there's a lot of resources that are available to you. I think mm-hmm. too, because it's such a small school,
yeah.
A lot of times people may not like that it's a small school, but I think it puts you in an advantageous position because mm-hmm. it's very easy to connect with people, talk to people. Like, it's not like schools like U of T or, you know, bigger schools that might have
yeah.
a whole process to reach out to someone. Like, it's very easy to walk into office. The people here are super nice. So I definitely think finding that support is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, staying on kind of the maturation process, you know, really talking about, like, you know, your game. Obviously, like I said, coming from first year, obviously adjusting to university, stuff like that. What's been the biggest part of your game that has improved from when you first came?
Oh, I would definitely say, like, my defense, probably.
Mm. I heard too, Rachel is big on defense.
Yeah, huge. Like, that's our number one priority out there.
She said, like, you don't play defense, don't play.
Yeah, we may have heard that once or twice. Yeah, you don't box out, you're sitting on the bench. But yeah, just the speed of this game is a lot different than high school. So getting used to that pace and like when you're in help side, knowing that your girl isn't just going to stand in the corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, using or getting better at defense was definitely a big adjustment.
The physicality?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember getting beat up. I think we were playing at York in my first year, and Lauren Golding, like, just beat me up down in the post. And, like, and then I got in the gym all summer, and I'm like, I'm getting stronger because
yeah.
I don't want to feel like that again.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing for me, which was, like, the pace you set and the physicality. The people who are listening, you know, watch play basketball at this level, it's very fast, very, very, very physical. I remember my
mm-hmm.
first ever game was against Queens. And all I keep remembering is coach saying, Tayshaun, run. teenage me is like, oh my gosh. Because, like, I'm thinking I'm 6'6". I'm probably a little bit short, maybe 6'5 and a half, you know, like 215. I'm thinking I'm good weight. And then there's really a difference between weight and grown man / grown woman weight.
Yeah, and like just like strength in general. Like you can carry some body weight, but if you don't have muscle, then...
Yeah, like you're getting, especially in the post, you're getting bodied. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. But like I said, you know, that's a lot to take in. Like I said, that's a whole different thing. I'm glad, you know, I'm on my way out, so obviously I enjoyed my 5 years. You still got one more year to go.
Yeah.
You know, but let's talk about the banquet. You obviously know you won your second, you know, team MVP kind of. Well, how was the banquet experience like for you? Kind of, what was it like to kind of hear that you won a second team MVP? Because you're really racking up the accolades. you're catching up to a lot of people. I'm kind of getting worried.
Well, like I said before, it's nice to know that the hard work is paying off, and I think like our team is just a bunch of great girls. So getting to do that along people that I really enjoy being around, it's so much more special because you really get to be a part of something like bigger than just those like MVP awards and things. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you still have one more year left, but up until this point, what has been your favorite part of this experience?
Oh, I mean, there's been a lot of great things. I chose basketball mostly because it's like a team sport and you get to really form those relationships. So yeah. I would say like I've met some of my best friends and some of like my role models getting to play here at Nipissing. So I would definitely say just the relationships and getting to meet new people, and with new people comes new opportunities. So really all of that.
Yeah, you know, going to next year was obviously your last year. You know, obviously you're looking to get some pieces back. You girls have already started recruiting. Yeah. What is your hope for the team next year? Obviously, since your last year, obviously, you know, sadly, obviously, you never made the playoffs, so obviously, I'm assuming that's a goal, but, like, kind of, what's your ultimate goal for your last year in terms of personal and team-wise?
Personal, I just want to fully enjoy it. Like, I mean, obviously, losing isn't, like, the best, your most fun thing, but just enjoying every aspect of it, like, the growth and getting to leave here, like, knowing that I left like my mark or whatever. And team wise, like you said, making playoffs, that would make history for our program. Yeah. And I really think we have the pieces to do it. We have like Nicole and Javea coming back. We have some great incoming recruits. And I think like just with this year development for our first year players, it's going to just send us right up to where we need to be. So.
Yeah, definitely think there's a lot of potential. You see, girls, obviously, Rachel, obviously, one thing about Rachel, you know, she's always looking to find a way to make the team better.
Yeah, 100%.
I think, too, the good thing, too, like, you have a lot of pieces coming back. You said Nicole coming back, Javea coming back. I've seen you girls have already started recruiting, which is good. So you girls are definitely adding some pieces. So obviously, it won't be here next year, but it would be nice to see kind of how you girls do. And hopefully, you girls can finally get over the hump and make the
play. Yeah, yeah.
Rachel knows I'm rooting for her, like I said. Rachel knows I'm rooting for her. Like, I'm rooting for you girls, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the final question, too, is you touched on it a little bit, but kind of the legacy. Obviously, I'm on my way out, as people kind of know by now if you tune into this podcast. You know, I've always talked about, you know, leaving a place better than you found it. That's something that I learned from my vets. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done at this time next year, how do you hope that people remember you, Megan McCarter, you know, around campus in this program?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big question.
You still have one more year to go, so I don't know what to think about now, but at least going into next season, obviously a year from now, how do you hope when it's all said and done, and you know, number 13 is gone for good from Nipissing, how do you hope people remember you?
Ultimately, I hope that I leave a legacy of like hard work, but also just like a great teammate. Like, I want to be the person that people can rely on and want to like share things with, or just being like there for our team and really uniting us. I think if I can leave knowing that like these girls are gonna stay friends like since I'm gone, that'll be really it for me. Obviously leaving it with like as a good basketball player would be great, but that's not the priority for this coming year for me. I want to really be the best teammate I can be, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to look at it too, right? Because obviously basketball stuff, that's cool, right? But I think it's the stuff off the court that people remember you by, right? But I think, too, the good thing about this experience, which has taught all of us, that you can use sports to do the latter, right? You can be able to use sports to be able to connect with people.
Yeah.
Because I've met so many people that I would have never met if I didn't do basketball, right? So I think you say the same, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you got one more year to go. Like I said, once again, you've done so much already, and you got one more year to go, which is insane. But congratulations on the great season. Like I said,
thank you.
Wishing you the best. Obviously, I won't be here next year, but definitely will root for you from afar.
Thanks.
On the team. So, yeah, man, thank you for coming on this podcast. I really appreciate it. Like I said, it's been 5 years we know each other. Never had you on this podcast. I think it was time to have you on the podcast. So
I'm glad we could do it.
So thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Locker. I want to thank my special guest, Megan McCarthy, for joining us. You can find the video version interview on YouTube and listen to full interview on all podcast streaming platforms. Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.